Welcome to the Afterspin, opinions from thought leaders in our state. I want to ask Mike Walden and Chris Cooper. Both state and local governments give out economic incentives to businesses to either locate or remain where they want them. Recent studies indicate that even though they don't yield the economic benefits that were promised when they were awarded these grants, politicians say they hate these giveaways, but they keep making them. From your perspective, are there real benefits to them, Mike?
Well, I've, for 20 years ago, I developed a model that the state uses to try to evaluate this. I think step one is information. How much are the incentives going to cost? What are the likely returns in terms of wages and production, et cetera, that stays in North Carolina? That's a key. But that said, I would rather there not be incentives. In fact, a new study that was just published this month in the American Economic Review shows that in 85% of the cases, the plant or the company being shopped around would go to the county or the location that
regardless
of whether the incentives were used. Now, however, that result was based on all the surrounding counties also not using incentives. So that number's a little fuzzy. But I understand the motivation, but I think we need to have some safeguards. For example, it's my understanding North Carolina puts these clawback provisions in contracts with companies. If they don't provide, if they don't generate the number of jobs they promised, then those taxes that were forgiven can be taken back.
Well, and Chris, the WRAL study that Tyler Dukes did on it, it was a very interesting study, said that out of $900 million of grants that were made, awarded, only $200 million had actually been spent because they didn't deliver the promised jobs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So why do we keep doing this? What is it with politicians? I mean, do they just get love to be able to cut a ribbon and make an announcement and stuff?
I think they like to be reelected. And I think this is a case where our representational system and the evidence kind of run, unfortunately, in conflict with one another. It's very easy for somebody to run for office and say, hey, look, I brought jobs to your district. Rarely do people say yes, but at what expense? So I think the kind of particularized nature of our representation, in other words, people represent small geographic areas, kind of leads to this sort of thing continuing on despite evidence that would seem to argue to the contrary.
Mike, as part of your year-end forecast, you said this might be the year that we land one of the big elephants, an auto plant or something?
Yeah, because the new USMCA, the successor to NAFTA, gives some advantages that we didn't have to the U.S. in terms of attracting auto plants and expanding our parts production, et cetera. And North Carolina has been looked at seriously for an auto assembly plant many, many times. We've not gotten one. So ergo, I think with the advantages now a little heightened to locate in North America, North Carolina not being a state that has an auto assembly plant, ergo my prediction, this might be the year.
This might be the year. We've been the bridesmaid a lot of times, but we've never been the bride. We've been involved in a lot of these hunts. Politically, again, you said it helped with re-election. Does it help getting elected?
You know, I think it probably helps more with re-election, right? It's hard to bring jobs when you're not in office yet. And I think running against these kind of incentives doesn't seem to be that effective.
But does a politician actually have that much input in this? I mean, aren't they usually coming out of a state office or...
I think frequently so, but as we know, politicians will claim credit for things sometimes they didn't have very much to do with.
No.
That's what I've heard.
Well, thanks for watching the Afterspin. We'll have more video all during the week on ncspin.com.